My Wealth, welcome to the new week. Andrew Kelleher, where are
you?
Yeah,
good morning, Mike.
Oh, you are with us. Bit of a delay. Sorry about that. Where are we at with the US? What's happened over down on Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, US share market, after a few good days, did have a bit of a dip down on Friday. Look, we've had the weekend to give us a bit of perspective on the whole issue, digest a little bit more information, which I have to admit was flowing pretty fast last week. So you're looking at developments since Friday, a bit more clarity around the US stimulus package. It was signed into law on Friday US time, so go the helicopter money. Checks for individuals and families, income level restrictions involved there, an extra $600 a week in unemployment insurance, and that's for people who are already earning state jobless benefits. Interesting point about that, Mike, is that even if you're earning less than $600 a week previously, you would have got that. You do get that. So that's huge. It's $250 billion US dollars there, $500 billion US dollar bailout package for US businesses, $274 billion for coronavirus relief. That's for state and local governments. Just want to make one comment around that US bailout, the US stimulus package. We're calling it a stimulus package, but I think it differs a little bit from the package that we saw in 2008, 2009. I think this was the Bush package that came out then. That package back after the GFC was designed to sort of stimulate the economy. This one's basically designed just to keep it going until some of the measures that are in place can be lifted. And it's not just the US that we've seen these packages out of over the weekend. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, he pledged the boldest ever stimulus package, including cash handouts there as well. I mean, and Japan's been a bit of an outlier because, you know, the seemingly had less effect from coronavirus. They've got a very low number of cases. They're going to include support for business as well. China reported over the weekend that Chinese administration will increase its fiscal deficit. They're going to issue more sovereign debt. They're going to let the local governments borrow more. Although the People's Bank of China, actually a separate statement, called for better coordination of global macro policies. So that might be a slightly sort of shaded hint towards those tariffs that are still in place between US and China. Just a couple of other quick points, Mike, just looking at this over the weekend. Looking at the US and Australia, both seem to be battling this issue of coordinating state and federal levels. So there's some confusion over how they respond because of the state and federal issue. Also, I note over the weekend, the cost of our wage subsidy package here could blow out to be quite a bit more than was initially expected, maybe between 8 and 12 billion, which is, yes, they've moved fast, but that's going to be expensive.
Talk to me about China, because I'm noting over the weekend you can now go into Wuhan, you still can't leave, but around China it seems to be coming back.
Yeah, it's an important factor for us, Mike, because we've moved here. We've moved pretty fast. We've moved decisively in some areas. And when we come out of this, an important factor is what's going on with our major trading partners. So assuming in 4 to 6 weeks, which is a big call, but you have to make some assumptions, we can start loosening restrictions. What does the return to normality look like? Well, if we look at our main trading partners, China, Australia, China import-export activity, very important with Australia likewise, but also you've got the tourism. But looking at China first, they went into this first, and it would appear they're coming out of it first and potentially in a pretty powerful position. About a week ago, the American Chamber of Commerce in China did a poll, admittedly fairly small, only around 120 firms. 22% of the respondents said they'd already resumed normal business operations, 13 expected to return by the end of the month, 23% by the end of April. So just under 60% will be back to normal within 4 weeks. The Financial Times, they're producing an economic tracker. Power plant coal consumption's back to 75% of what it was pre-Chinese New Year. Traffic congestion, boy, you know, this is not one you want to see coming back, but that's back to 92%. Container freight, though, that's only at about 60% of what it was, so a little bit slow to recover, maybe a data issue there, but they would appear to be bringing that economy back up so that when we come out, hopefully some of the issues around supply chain, our ability to get exports, demand for exports is actually in a better place than it is now.
Numbers, please.
The Dow Jones closed at 21,636. They lost 915, about 4%. The S&P 500, 2541, lost just over 3%. And the Nasdaq, 7502, 3.79%. The FTSE 100, down 305, 5510. The Nikkei, 19,389, down. They were up 724, actually, up just under 4%. Shanghai Composite, 2772. The ASX 200 lost 5% on Friday, 4842. and the NZX 50, we lost 0.79%, down 75 points, 9,556. Currencies starting the week, New Zealand dollar against the US dollar, 0.6031, 0.9792 Aussie, 0.5419 euro, 0.4841 pounds, 65.05 yen. Gold, $1,628.16, and Brent crude still languishing, $24.93.
You have a good one, mate. Appreciate it. From jmiwealth.co.nz.